What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb, Berlin, Zlotik, yeah.
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
I'm very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
And we're back for another season.
Feels like
season.
It's been a while. Yeah. It's been a while since we've done that.
Yeah, I mean, what?
Maybe a month?
I don't know. Last one we did, we were in face-to-face.
Oh, yeah.
So we are...
And let me tell you, this studio is really picking up steam as well.
Oh, I can't wait to get back into it.
I've got a little desk in there now, which I'm hoping that I'll just migrate a lot of my work stuff to just in there.
So that'll be your office.
Two like TV cameras set up, like backdrop, you know, sound, like podcast area and all this sort of
nice.
Stuff. It's excellent. It's what a stroke of luck that this company is doing the exact sort of things that suit two lads like ourselves.
How have you been?
Not good, Terry.
What's been going on, buddy?
Well, you know, I lost my what? I can't actually believe that I fall for this every time. I swear to God, this is genuine every time.
I can't get the bloody thing open now.
Yeah, seriously, you're right. Who are they trying to keep out of there?
Nope.
Terry's nope. Struggling to open a can of IPA.
You're wrong there, kid. It's a can. Oh, there we go.
Jesus. It's already not worth it.
It's a can of pale ale.
No, they all are.
It is a Whiplash Body Riddle Pale Ale. And
oh, it's like they have like four drums of like rolling balls, and each ball is a random number, and they just pull out number one, number two, number three, number four, and just put them on a can.
What are you trying to say here, Andy?
They're making it up as they go along.
Well, yeah.
Let me see the color of that.
Oh, you want to see the color?
Yeah, let me see it. We're doing it. Oh, it is pale.
It looks good though, right?
Is that why they call it a pale ale? Should it be that pale?
Yeah. Pale ale should be that colour as opposed to a brown ale or a red ale.
Okay, well, lots of luck.
Oh my God. That is delicious, let me tell you that right now.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
What, does it have any sort of citrus vibe going on?
No, let me read the description. Is there one here?
Please do.
You know what I like about these guys, actually? They are just... No fuss about it. It's just the can, and it says Body Riddle Pale Ale. No like blend.
Body Riddle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is fairly no nonsense.
Yeah. But it tastes quite nonsensical.
Okay, well. Yeah. I myself am drinking a can of Coke Zero.
Kill Surprise.
Second for the day, if you're asking. Oh.
That's where you got that look in your eye. So yeah, listen.
Yeah, go on.
Tell me about your horrible life.
Okay, I lost my wallet, first of all. Yeah. Got my new card today, thankfully. So that was a kick in the teeth, to be honest. I got a couple of, I didn't even get to say it to you, but a couple of weeks ago, got a couple of penalty points on my license as well.
Ooh.
Yeah, 3 penalty points.
For what?
It's speeding? It's a con, Terry. Yes, it was speeding, but hold on, there's context here. On the M11, right, there's a little...
N or
little,
M?
No, on the M11.
Motorway, then, yes.
Motorway, yes. 11. It's pretty much all motorway, except for this little 3-kilometre thing right in the middle of it, where it becomes the N11. There's no houses on the road, the road doesn't change.
Part of the,
nobody,
the curve right there.
So the speed limit's 100 for that, and on the motorway it's 120, as you know, having passed your theory test yourself. So
sure, yeah.
So basically, they caught me going 113 in this little 2-kilometer stretch where it becomes the N11, where on the motorway I would have been under the speed limit. But yeah, so They obviously had a ticket quota to fill.
A camera,
I guess.
Was it a camera?
It was one of those little weasels out there with his little gun, like trying to sting you.
That's shite.
So and I've lost my license. So not only have I got three penalty points on my license, I've now lost it, and it's due to expire, and it's still a fucking provisional because I failed 5 fucking tests. So that's what's going on. All right.
Have you been watching anything?
Yes, thank you for asking. I've been watching some big movies, Terry.
Oh, big.
I have opinions on all of them. Actually, 4 of them. I watched Hereditary.
Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Oh, well, let me tell you. It's one of the best horrors I've ever seen.
Whoa, okay. And you're a man who likes his horrors.
Yes, and I tell you what, it wasn't a cheap horror. It wasn't one of those boo, or even worse, one of those like the suspense is building and then it's like boo, haha, just kidding. Oh, you know, like one of those sort of like shit. Like, was none of that. It was all proper, like scary, but it was like there was loads of holy shit moments.
I have seen a bit in it where, without spoiling it for viewers, Gabriel Byrne and Toni Collette are in a room together, and I was like, what the absolute fuck. Like, I had no context of it. I was just like,
I think this might have been the end, but yeah.
Oh, is that the end? Oh, okay.
Possibly. Yeah. There was a few scenes with them, but yeah, it was bloody brilliant. The acting was brilliant. And what's the name of your man who did it, directed it? This new hotshot horror director.
Oh, his name escapes me.
Is it like Zach something? Or?
No. I'll get it now. Because I should know, because I was a big fan of his other movie.
This 4 out of 9 you got on this movie buff quiz is really...
give me a fucking break. This guy's only got 2 movies.
I would have thought a film buff.
I believe his name is Ari Aster. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Let me see here if I am correct. Blah, blah, blah.
You know you're correct. You got the phone there, you know.
And Ari Aster, yes,
okay.
Indeed. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I got it before I Googled it.
Before
for,
the page
for the
loaded.
Yeah, 100%. Andy, you know me.
Well, he also did Midsommar.
Midsommar.
Watch that as well.
What are you thinking of that?
Have you seen that?
I have.
It was good. It was different.
It's not a full on horror.
No.
But like, you're like,
I've been thinking about it a lot since.
It's
one
a
of those.
Bit like, it's more of a terror, if I could say that. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
In
just
that
this overwhelming
like,
sense of dread.
Yes.
And
like,
weirdness.
It's so much, it feels like a really bad drug trip.
Yes.
While
exactly.
watching it, I was like, oh no. Yeah. Like,
I just felt unsettled watching it. Like
the fact that they're on drugs a lot in it as well kind of obviously ties into that. But like there's bits in it where I was just like, oh. Yeah. Obviously there's like kind of Wicker Man comparisons because of the whole thing. But it kind of left me with that, like, if you've ever watched The Wicker Man, the non-Nicolas Cage version
I have.
Yeah, and so the end of that film, I was like, spoilers for a film from the 1970s. The end of that film, the hero policeman that is investigating all this stuff is burnt alive in a wicker man. And I kept thinking like, oh, you know, somebody's going to come and save him or a helicopter or something. It's like, no, the camera just zooms away and he's just like burnt
that's
alive.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's it. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, that's so disconcerting that, that's probably how it would happen in real life.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of the kind
big
of...
big movie ending.
Yeah, exactly. It's very unmovie-ish.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of kind of that feeling from Midsommar where I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I get it. I don't like
it. Very well.
I don't like, and like that's the thing. It's you're shocked in a lot of it. It's not like jump scary or anything like that.
Yeah,
but it's unsettling. Like
I kept wishing that the male lead, maybe it's after Guardians of the Galaxy, but I kept wishing that the male lead was Chris Pratt because he looked so much like him from the side and from behind. And then he'd get to talk and I'm like, oh, this isn't him. This isn't Star Lord.
He's an Irish lad, you know that.
Is he?
Jack Raynor is his name.
Oh, wow. He looked Irish, actually, now that you mention it.
Yeah, he's quite a good actor. He's doing all right for himself. I think he was in a couple of Transformers movies as well. Like, so,
all right.
Yeah, he's done all right for himself.
It's good for him to be in this one.
Yeah, he was good in it. He was real fucking shit in it.
Yeah, yeah, he was. That's what I liked about it as well, is the whole relationship. It's like he didn't really even want to be with her, like, yeah. But like, so the whole vibe throughout the whole thing is like he knows he should be a better person.
He's the worst boyfriend of the year, like.
But Hereditary is on Netflix, so yes. That
Midsommar is on Amazon Prime.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I keep getting billed for it. But I tell you, I'll have the last laugh because they have my old debit card details, which is in the hands of some snot-nosed punk in Arklow Town, probably.
But you should use, like, there's so many good stuff on Amazon.
There's not, though.
I'll tell you, they just added Knives Out, one of my top five of last year.
okay, great.
Great movie.
speaking of great movies, I have another one for you, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
The Invisible Man.
Hell yeah. Now,
I came to you with this, with a question of any good horrors, because we were having a horror night the other night, and you suggested The Invisible Man. I knew that was going to be a major win, because Kerry loves your one...
Handmaid's Tale.
And yeah, I thought it was deadly.
It was really good. Fucking deadly. The guy who directs it is one of the guys. I think he was in the original Saw, but he also co-wrote it. He was the guy not the claw guy from Liar Liar. Carrie Elwes. Yeah, whatever his name was. Yeah.
Okay.
So you know he was in the tub and the other guy was in the tub. He was the other guy in the tub.
Oh,
but he also was the co-writer of it. But I loved how he directed this film and how
there was loads of times I noticed the shots were almost framed that like she wouldn't be center of the shot. 100%. She'd be to the left or the right. So you get the impression that there's someone just right there. I noticed that they did that a lot.
His movement of the camera is like, it's just in a doorway. And you're like, is he standing there? You know, is the Invisible Man there? Like,
it's like, you're just showing me a doorway, but my mind is racing.
Yeah. And I love the whole gaslighting kind of angle they took with it. I thought it was really good. She was very good in it.
She was great. There was a scene in it, you probably know the one that I'm talking about, where I was just like, I did not see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's around the middle of the movie. And
oh shit. Yeah. In a restaurant.
Like, I was watching it, and I was just like, oh shit.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
It was dead. Was that on Netflix or no?
No. I don't know how you watched it. I'll tell you off mic how I watched it.
I watched it through legal sources. That's all you need to know.
You rented it, did you? Where did you rent it from?
Yeah, Blockbuster. Extravision. that was an excellent recommendation, if I may say. I would recommend that. Now, if I may, sorry, I have one more thing that I've watched. It was an independent movie on Netflix called The Circle.
I've heard of this. This is Tom Hanks is like a one.
I knew that you were thinking of the other circle. It was like there was no one we would know in it. It's like a bunch of people wake up, they're standing around this like big ball.
You know what? I have seen it and I have been tempted to be like, oh, what's this? You know?
Yeah.
And
you've seen the thumbnail, like
It's
because they made a sound. There was like they called it like a dungeon of torture or something like that, but it wasn't like they all pick the next person to die. Someone dies every 2 minutes, and I like concept movies like that. Yeah,
I had it in my head. It was like 15 to 1. Only somebody dies.
It kind of looked like the set of 15 to 1. Like, to be honest,
that's what I was thinking. And it was like
it's not that far off, but only they see their arrow. So when they point for someone, like, no one else can see who you pick. So it's like, hey, everyone, let's get rid of the old people. They're going to die anyway, right? You know, like, that sort of thing. It was awful. It was absolutely awful. It was only 90 minutes long, but it felt about 3 hours
long. It reminds me of these, like, spate of movies, these single, you know, area horror films that came out.
Yeah.
Like, it was a Devil. Was that the one in the lift?
Yeah.
Or, like, there was one
called... Like a contained space.
There was one called Exam, where it was another thing where it was people it's a job interview, you're taking a test, but halfway, they don't, it's just a blank piece of paper and a pencil.
Yeah.
And then halfway through it, they're like, what are we doing here? What is this? And then halfway through it, it's like, the rules start changing or whatever. And it was like, yeah, they were making all these kind of concept movies.
What was that one with the levels that I was watching?
Oh, yeah. The system or the...
The system, something like that, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of those. And I generally kind of like those because the concept brings me in to watch those sort of things. But this was like... It was like if someone died, like a laser would hit them and they would just go and they'd fall back and be dead. But like, it looked terrible. Even that was the only special effect in the movie, and it looked awful, cheapened it entirely. Whereas if they had have just dropped dead every 2 minutes, had one person drop dead, it would have been way cooler.
But, the idea.
So because nothing was happening, it was all just dependent on the dialogue, which was subpar, let's say.
But even like you're saying that, it doesn't have to be a laser. It doesn't have to be like a bomb neck thing. It'd be like, we've inserted something in the back of your ear, you know, and it's just going to, you're just going to exactly fall over or whatever like that.
Yeah, it would have been way better. But anyway, that's my lot now. Have you been up to much?
What have we been up to? Yeah, I'm on a few days off. I'm off this week.
Oh,
so
nice.
We're out in the Hoth for an old foggy stroll this afternoon.
Nice. Very
nice.
It was
a nice bit of fun. Yeah, and we were, oh, I tell you what, I was out for my first hearty meal. Is that what they're calling it these days now?
A pub meal, yeah.
So I was out on Saturday for a pub meal with a friend
How
of the podcast, Colin Pilo. And then I woke up Sunday feeling awful, really bad. First actual pints I've had in a long time, so...
How stupid is it that they have to serve food with the pint?
Well, see,
like,
I would
everyone has to do this like weird dance.
Like, I would normally, if we were in Brannigan's or something, I would have a few pints and I would get food anyway because I enjoy the food there. But I know what you're saying. Like, you can't just go for a
you have to order something to eat.
Yeah, but if they're obeying the rules and the social distancing, like, I don't understand
what's the difference.
Yeah. You know, like. I was in Brannigan's with Faye for I think we had two drinks after a meal.
Yeah.
And he just was there, and it was literally like, you know, everybody is in their own little a snug now, whatever, you know.
Oh, right.
He's turning people away at the door. He's full, like, you know, when he's not, you know, he's at capacity, but he's like compared to what it was. Like, and the publicans are behaving themselves by and large. So really, it should be the ones, if there's somebody not behaving themselves, then punish them. It shouldn't be a blanket thing.
Don't just close at all. Especially, I was even seeing on the news with like those three counties that have, gone on lockdown again. And like loads of pubs there and all the stuff just like are just closing down. Like that have been there
hard,
for like 70 years or something like that, like, because like they were already hit and now the second lockdown is like, okay, well, that's the last nail in the coffin. Like, it's a real blanket sweep. Like, I don't know.
Anyway,
No,
I brought
what else has been.
I was very hungover on Sunday,
so
I think I slept more than I have in a long time. And Faye very graciously took Bonnie to see her nan. So it kind of gave me time to recover.
Nice.
Had a big dirty chipper on Sunday night as well. It was great.
Yes.
Snack box.
What'd
you
have? Snack box?
Yeah. And a spice burger.
Oh, hello. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now you're talking my language.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Terry, I just had a chipper tonight and it was shocking.
Oh.
And I'll tell you now, if you're living in Arklow, stay away from Marcella's. That's all I'll say. Last time they forgot the two garlic dips. Your man came back with one, and I was like, and the other one? It's like, what? It's like, oh, so he went back, and I called him and said, look, just forget it. And so I ordered again, or Kerry ordered again, and then they'd forgotten the chips. I was like, I can't believe we keep giving these people our money.
So, where is there any other chippers near you that you can?
Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah,
everyone raves about Burger Hill, but I don't like the look of it from the outside, to be honest. So anyway,
I don't know what I watched recently enough. I, because you know, I've watched The Invisible Man, like we said. I watched a film called Widows.
Okay.
Okay. Now listen to this.
Okay.
You got a cast of Liam Neeson.
Okay.
You got Colin Farrell. You got Robert Duvall in a supporting role. You got Daniel Kaluuya, who is the guy from Get Out, just okay. to clue you in.
Okay. Okay.
Then you got, you won't know, you know, remember Lost?
Yeah.
Who's your one? One from, I'm going to say Fast and Furious, Dom's girlfriend.
Your one, the...
Michelle Rodriguez is her name.
Yes.
She's in it. Viola Davis.
Okay, yeah, she's good.
And Elizabeth Debicki.
You lost me.
She's like 6'5". She's huge.
Oh, yeah, Amazon.
Absolutely. Anyway, the plot is Viola Davis is married to Liam Neeson, and Liam Neeson runs a crew of criminals that rob people. But then they all get killed in like the first 5 minutes. So Viola Davis, Michelle Rodriguez, Elizabeth Debicki, and another lady are all the eponymous widows who basically, it turns out their husbands had ripped off a drug dealer, and now they have to get the money together to pay back them. So they have to kind of put together their own heist. And let me tell you, Cantwell,
I like it.
It's fucking deadly. I remember I went to see it with my dad in the cinema, and I thought it was really good. And Colin Farrell plays like a local politician in it. Real smarmy, sleazy, but really good. And deadly. I remember watching it being like, there's something about this, like it's kind of like genre-y, whatever. But whatever way the director uses the camera, it just elevates everything in it. You're like, fucking hell, this is really, really good. Oh, highly nice. I would highly recommend it.
Where would I find it?
You can rent it.
Okay, off the grid, off the grid.
Yeah, you can rent it. I'm sure you rent it off Amazon or Sky Store or whatever.
Okay.
It's actually probably, if you have Sky Movies, it's probably a part of that package.
Oh, yeah, I do not.
But it is...
That does sound like something that's up my alley these days, to be honest.
Really, really good. And it was really interesting that it's like, it's actually all the more interesting because it's women that are doing it, you know. And it's like, one of the lines in it is like, the advantage we have here is nobody thinks we can. Nobody would suspect that we would be able to do it. Like, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I like it.
Really good, man. Really good.
I'm down with that. Okay.
So, yeah. Okay, great. You know. Sure, we should... I'll tell you what, and one last thing I've been watching. I don't know if you've seen it on your Sky Planner or whatever. Perry Mason. Have you seen this?
No.
I tell you, Andy, it ticks all my boxes.
What's Perry... Who or what is Perry Mason?
So Perry Mason, it was originally... This is a reboot, right? Originally, it was like a half an hour or an hour kind of drama that was like Matlock or something, you know, in this... 70s or whatever.
All right. Like,
but they've rebooted it with Matthew Rhys, John Lithgow. You know John Lithgow.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen Orphan Black.
I have not, of course.
Tatiana something is her name. Very fine actress. Basically, it's a 1930s, I think, private detective story in LA. And I tell you, Andy, it's the way I like my eggs. No, it's the way I like my sweets.
Go on,
hard boiled.
Smooth.
No, wait.
I'm kind of getting an LA Noir vibe off it.
Yeah, exactly. But he plays. So he's Perry Mason, but it's like Perry Mason before he became a lawyer, because the original TV show was he was a lawyer who would stick his thumbs through his suspenders. That may be just a small town. Where in this one, he's like he is the private investigator for John Lithgow's lawyer.
Right.
But he's also like came back from World War One. He's like a fucked up guy completely. But it's really fucking good. I think it's 8-episode series. Not for you.
Oh, it's a series. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not for me personally now, but if anyone else out there.
But like, it just got me thinking of like how fucking good John Lithgow, like they're all really good in it. He's great in it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, man, he was fucking great. And then he won an Emmy for The Crown. He won like two or three Emmys for Third Rock from the Sun. He won an Emmy for being in Dexter. I was like, this guy is fucking... Like, I used to think he was a bit of a kind of jokey actor, but he's fucking good.
He's proper, like.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. He's got chops.
Yeah, he definitely does. I liked him in... I seen Daddy's Home.
Daddy's Home too. Yeah,
it was good. Yeah. Really good.
Okay. Tell you, great bit of casting. One of the all-time great bit of casting is putting... him as Will Ferrell's dad is just fucking perfect.
And just even the two of them, to be honest.
That's
even,
it, like, really. You know?
Now, listen, before we get into it, Terry, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure if your video was delayed there.
I'm here.
Hold on.
Is it about something. My cube?
Okay, fine. it's from Lucas. I said, hey, Terry and Andy, just wondering if I could ask a question for the next Q&A pod. And since I didn't know when the next Q&A pod would be, I just figured we'd answer it now. Big fan of the show and really dig the 80s, 90s and 2000s era review. I'm also a very big fan of the Cousin podcast hosted by Tony. Do you know, by the way, Terry, what our most listened to episode is?
No.
It's the 80s one. Do you remember the minisode that we did? Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's got more listens than when we had Tony on. Anyway, in a lot of Tony's podcasts, he talks a lot about his relationship with women and how he failed to pull them when he was younger and how he was a fat, chubby, frigid. So I pose the question, do either of you have any funny stories about birds when you were younger? And did any of you fall into the same trap?
Yeah, for long spells, I would say, like, I think we might have talked about this on like on the emotional journey episode where we were kind of saying, but it was very much like, I always remember one time being up in the Plex, and it was like, I think I was like 13 or 14, and some kind of rough girl came out and was like, will you meet me, mate? And instinctively, I looked over and I was terrified. And I was like, but I was also like, don't show that you're terrified.
Yeah, don't show that you're
so fear. I was like, no. And then she was like, why not? I was like, I'd say it was until I was in my late teens, early 20s. To before I started, you know, really hitting my stride and being confident. Yeah. I remember a good friend of mine gave me some advice. He was like, when you're in a club or whatever, don't try and chat up a girl. Don't go up to a bar and try and chat them up. He was like, just look at them. And he's like, and I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't mean stare at them. Just make eye contact with them, and then like don't say anything, and kind of just look aloof or whatever like that, and then they will come to you. And I was like, that's bollocks. Like maybe if they look like you, mate, whatever.
Then
I remember as I was like, you know what? Like I'm just gonna try it. And I remember being at the bar and seeing these two women.
Yeah.
Around the same age as me, and they were kind of chatting with each other, and said one of the friends was like stroking I had like a goatee at the time. I'd like kind of taking the piss out of me, and I was like playing up to her, and then she kind of went off. The two of them went off, but I remember like being quite taken with her friend, and I remember just where she was sitting in the couch. I kind of kept looking over every now and again. And make an eye contact with her. And then eventually she kind of just patted the seat next to her. And I was like, see you later, lads.
This is unbelievable.
But I often thought about it. Because then, obviously, watching a lot of David Attenborough when you're hungover as well.
Yeah.
I was like, it's very much like that sort of nature. Like,
yeah.
Like, it is. Like, just show your interest or whatever like that and then see, you know, do my little bird
birds,
dance.
It's like those birds hopping up and down on the branch with just those blue eyes.
But yeah, it was very much like,
that's actually quite good advice, I think. Yeah. I wish I'd known that 20 years ago.
You wouldn't have been able to pull it off.
No chance.
Yeah.
I'll tell you when I remember being 13 and thinking like, it is not okay that I'm a frigid.
Yeah, well, it isn't, like,
you know what I mean? Like, even at 13, it was like, no, oh, you haven't kissed a girl yet? And I was like,
the stigma of being a frigid, even though I was only talking about this the other day, where it's like a frigid. Where it's like the term is frigid, as frigid, in you're a cold person. Like,
yeah,
you
know, exactly.
I
tried to use that defense when I was 12.
No. Well, that's your first problem right there, pal.
Didn't go down well. Oh yeah, and I remember, I first met a girl when I was 13, and she was just like a mate of like one of the girls that we hang out with, like never seen before or since.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, I went behind the pillar and like we met for like, I don't know, 10 seconds and like, and then came back. And like, the thing was, like, even though we did meet, it's like nobody believed it, because we were all kind of just standing there for ages, like awkwardly or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was at least another couple of years before I got the next one. So the whole time between 13 and like 15, 16, I was like, I did meet her, lads. I really did. And then she later said, no, it never happened. And I was like, this is up there. I can't believe this.
So, I don't need to justify myself to you or anyone.
Am I talking to you, Pinhead? So yeah, that was my first experience anyway, but
it's rough. Oh,
the pain never stops hurting. Whenever someone says, now you're going red, I feel like a frigid.
You know what I mean? You're going red. I'm like,
yeah, he's going red. Yeah. I'm like, ugh.
Hold on. Now I have something for you, Cantwell, right?
Okay.
So, Richie Kiernan, one of our beloved patrons.
Yes.
He, remember you, last time we were in the studio, you read out a mail from him.
Yes.
And he sent me a message saying, something I didn't think I had to explain from my last email was the whole Andy Booby thing. And he was like, because you were like, Andy Booby, if you remember. And I was like, is he calling me Booby?
I don't remember this.
Yeah, your fucking goldfish memory. I remembered it as soon as he texted me, because I was like,
but Booby, I still don't get it.
It wasn't Booby, it was Bubby. It was
okay.
He was doing Ellis from Die Hard.
Am I right? Hans, Booby, I'm your white knight.
He's like, Andy, Booby.
Die Hard well enough. That went right over my head. Yeah. Richie, I'm sorry. It went right over my head. I'm sure I've seen Die Hard once.
I'm sure he spelt it correctly, and you,
right, yeah, made a mockery of me, absolutely, essentially.
But I appreciate a good Die Hard reference, Richie.
Well, thanks. Definitely. Well, thanks for bringing this up on Mike.
Yeah, why not? Thanks for stopping.
Terry, can I please? Is there more?
No, that's it.
Okay. Can I talk to you about The Simpsons, please?
Sure. We are 33 minutes in, so it's about time, I guess.
More specifically, can I talk to you about Season 7, Episode 1 of The Simpsons, Who Shot Mr. Burns, Part 2, which aired September 17th, 1995. Can I talk to you about that one, Terry?
Give me some stats here. I'm expecting some big numbers.
Okay, I don't have big stats here. Because the Wikipedia page for Part 1 and 2 is a one for all, and I blew my wad on the first episode with all the stats. So if you want the stats, go back and listen to the start. Well, Part 1.
Okay.
I'm going to take a drink. It's going to be hot.
Unbelievable. This is going real well.
Now, I will say this, Terry.
Yeah.
That in the... there was a contest launched over the summer. Obviously, like, it was a huge deal, and it was, you know, there was the Springfield Most Wanted, yeah, and all this. It was the talk, it was the whodunit of the summer of 95. Mm-hmm. And in the months that followed part one, there was a widespread debate among fans as to who shot him, and Fox offered a contest where callers who dialed 1-800-COLLECT were eligible, and then guessed who the culprit was. But this contest seems like the biggest shit show.
I would say that's like a pure money grab as well, though. Like,
yeah,
like,
I mean, 1-800
is like it's a toll number, isn't it? I'm sure, like, they're having to pay to ring that number.
Is a 1-800 is collect mean they don't have to pay?
Oh, is it a collect number?
It was 1-800-COLLECT, but okay, I don't really know how it works. Anyway, it ran for a couple of weeks, and it was one of the first contests to tie together elements of television and the internet. And the winner was going to be animated on the show, but due to contest regulations, a winner had to be selected out of a random sample, whether the entries contained the correct responses or not. So
they just wanted you to enter, essentially.
Yeah, so the winner who had the wrong answer was chosen at random, but the winner didn't watch the show and opted to accept a cash prize in lieu of being animated. It's like, this couldn't have been like...
What would you take? Would you take cash prize?
Well, it depends.
Or be immortalized?
In season 7 of The Simpsons, possibly. Mm. Not now. Everyone, you could just pay to get on it now, I'm sure. What amount of money... Would you accept $100 or be animated on the show?
No, animated.
$500.
Animated. You're talking 750 before I even.
$1,000. Definitely $1,000, or you can be
25,000.
That's five figures.
Oh yeah, minimum four figures though.
25,000. So they offered you $20,000.
I would take 20. Okay, fine.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
I'd take 10. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, fine. All right. I was at home ogling the Sears catalog.
Well, you want hook this?
Part one finished with a Nielsen rating of 8.7, as we discussed. Part two averaged 12.3.
This is what million. I wanted here with the stats count.
Like. Yeah, a 12.9 Nielsen rating. So it's a solid 5.2 jump in the Nielsen.
That's the
ratings.
Biggest numbers they've had in years.
Still finished 16th in the United States for the ratings that week.
What was it on Fox that week? It had to be number one on Fox.
It was third. Oh, and sorry. It was the highest rated show on Fox that week.
There we go.
And it helped the Fox network rank third overall for that week at a time when Fox was usually finishing fourth. Which, I don't know how important that is, but it's something.
Third comes right after second.
And another thing, the song Signor Burns was composed by Alf Clausen, who I guess does the Simpsons music.
He does
music,
the music, yeah.
And was written by Oakley and Weinstein and was nominated for an Emmy in 1996.
Hmm.
So neat. I don't think it won. Yes. That's all I've got, Terry.
Well, we get into what we thought
Please.
About it anyway.
Now, cards on the table. I watched this episode about 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah, well, we were supposed to record this episode 2 weeks ago, in fairness.
Yeah. And I had it watched early that week as well. But not to worry.
I'll tell you what I thought about it.
Please
I
do.
Did not enjoy it as much as part one. I had it in my head that it was a Stone Cold classic, and it was just a bit of more of a reheated leftover type deal. I thought it was good, good moments in it, but I was left wanting more. Shall we say.
Interesting. I would have the opposite view.
Yeah.
I thought it was better than part one.
Mm.
Probably because it had more laughs, and that's all I'm here for. I thought it was a lot funnier than I remember. And part one wasn't as good as I remember.
There's a lot of laughs, but they're all kind of disjointed, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I love the start of it. Like, I love Smithers waking up in the ashtray burp, and you know, like.
Ugh, my mouth tastes like an ashtray.
Do 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 dee dee dee. Smithers, wait your turn. There's plenty of hot water for all.
Sir, you weren't shot. It was all a dream.
That's right. The year is 1965, and you and I are undercover detectives on the hot rod circuit. Now let's burn rubber, baby.
Speedway Squad, in color.
Wait, that was all a dream. Ah, oh, hey, then maybe I haven't become a hideous drunken wreck. Oh. Dozens of people are gunned down each day in Springfield, but until now, none of them was important. I'm Kent Brockman.
I always used to think how gross it was that when he woke up, I don't know if it was this part, when he woke up that he coughed out cigarettes.
No, I love that. I think it's so good. Like, yeah.
Gross.
My mouth it tastes like an ashtray. And then it's like...
he burps or something.
Even when he wakes up after the burns is the dream, then he burps again.
Yeah.
It's like all cigarette butts again.
Yeah. So disgusting. Yeah. Poor Waylon. But...
like... I don't know, I just want to jump around and discuss.
I'll be honest, I'm going to jump around and I'm going to listen back to the episode tomorrow and I'm going to be like, I can't believe I forgot to talk about that bit. The big thing that stands out for me, as I said, was the laughs, and one of the best scenes, I know I'm really jumping around here, but one of the best scenes, one of my favourite scenes in The Simpsons period, is Mo on the lie detector test.
Yeah, of course.
And I completely forgot that it was this episode.
Do you hold a grudge against Montgomery Burns?
No. All right, maybe I did, but I didn't shoot him.
Checks out. Okay, sir, you're free to go.
Good, because I got a hot date tonight. Odd date. Dinner with Fred. Dinner alone. Watching TV alone. All right. I'm going to sit at home and ogle the ladies in the Victoria's Secret catalog. Sears catalog. Now, would you unhook this already, please? I don't deserve this kind of shabby treatment.
I like how... they narrow it down to four suspects, first of all, right? So you got Mo, you got Skinner, you got Barney, and you got Willie.
Yeah.
And then Puente as well. You know, Senor Mambo, what do they call him? but with the Mo vignette, because that's kind of, I had a bit of a, I liked it, but it was also a bit of a problem that, like, it seemed very sketchy.
Yeah.
You know, like vignette-y. And not in the best way, like, because I didn't think the Willy one really added much. I liked the Skinner one because he took so long.
Now let me.
Yeah. It's like,
let me think. the thing just on the Mo one was how he starts from such a. He starts with dignity, and by the end, he's lost all dignity.
Like, what
with
I like
each
about
ding,
it,
it's so quick. It's like, no.
What I like about it is, like, did you hold a grudge against me? He's like, no. All right, maybe I did, but I didn't shoot him. He's like, yeah, okay, you're free to go. Like, go. And then he just, like, keeps talking himself into it. Like, he's like, they're letting him go. And he's like,
yeah, this
I
is all
of
his own accord.
Tonight. A date. Dinner with friends. Dinner alone. Watching TV alone. all right, I'm going to sit at home and ogle the ladies in the Victoria's Secret catalog. See his catalog. What, do you want to hook this thing already?
The defeat when he says Sears catalog. Sears catalog.
great scene.
So
and it
good.
Is, I, that, like, this kind of was full of like, a bunch of good scenes. You know what I mean? Like, that's, like... I actually thought the start of the episode was a lot stronger in terms of, like, when Smithers confesses to it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just feel as low as Madonna when she found out she missed Tailhook. And like, I'm going to say, ouch. From Madonna. But even before that, actually, the man... Oh, Dave Shutton, Springfield Daily Shopper. Who are you? Where are you going? He's like, do your research, Shutton.
But, I was thinking of you with that joke. Yeah, I hope you're always a fan of that one.
But like,
do your research.
But when it, like, when he says that, like, the whole Brockman, ouch, for Madonna. And then it cuts to Krusty and Mel. And, like, it's just, like, it uses the bench pretty well with these two because it's, like, you never get to see Mel do anything. So it's, like, how do we get, you know, Smithers off the hook? And he becomes almost like the Sherlock Holmes with the pipe. He's, like, He's, like, he mentioned he never misses Pardon My Zinger. I made sense to note of that as it seemed really unusual. It turns out, like, you know, that Smithers didn't shoot Mr. Burns. He shot Jasper. He's like, that's much worse.
About 50,000 volts worse, if you know what I mean. Sizzle.
Sizzle.
Was this the first introduction as well of Dr. Colossus?
Yes.
Yeah,
of course.
I love the way they made
him. Well, no, it wasn't
like
the first introduction of him because he was in the Malibu Stacy episode. Lisa was like, he's like,
oh, one of his like, boyfriends.
Joe, Ken, Dr. Colossus. Five husbands.
Yeah, really.
But, like, I really liked all this stuff here where it's like Smithers. And then when he gets cleared, the idea with Kemp. I'm loving Brockman in this episode, though, where it's like, with the prime suspect cleared and found completely innocent, we must ask ourselves, who could possibly be as bloodthirsty as Waylon Smithers?
I love that. They're still sort of taking shots at like just the general media. Like,
and then I just, yeah, exactly. And then when I found that when they kind of moved on to Homer, like it just wasn't as effective. Or it just kind of slowed down. It just didn't like hit for me as much.
The whole like, the when Burns says Homer Simpson and
exactly, bingo, we got a name-o, and it was like Simpson DNA.
It did seem a bit, I even remember that at the time thinking how weird it was of like he just keeps saying Homer Simpson.
I didn't really buy that.
You know what I mean?
Homer Simpson.
Simpson. Yeah, exactly.
And then like Dr. Nick is like, that seems to be all you can say. When you were in that coma, did you suffer brain damage?
And I just love, like, this episode as well really shows how, again, like, inept all the professionals are, essentially. Yeah. Like, you've got Dr. Nick, you got Chief Wiggum. Like, going, do you know who shot Mr. Burns? Because we are really up the creek on this one.
Yeah, you know? And, like, they do the whole Twin Peaks, you know, Burns is suit. Burns
is that
suit.
From Twin Peaks?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I've started watching. I watched the first episode, so it hasn't got into any of this weird shit yet.
Was actually great. I will say.
Well
that
done.
That was possibly one of my favorite bits of the episode.
I'm not following you.
Burns is suit. Burns is suit.
Huh?
Look at Burns is suit. Yeesh.
Because it is kind of like, I love the fact that it's so clever. But like it's just so clever the way it's done. It looks great. It like she sounds great. Sounds like she's talking backwards, but she's actually
grand.
Normal. And then, like the clues are there if you put it together. But like,
but I love the whole thing where it's like, when he wakes up, Eddie is like, "Chief, why don't we check out the suit Burns is wearing?" He's like, "Did you have the same backwards talking dream with flaming cards?" Like, I'll drive.
And what is it that he like Wiggum was looking to like stay up, so
he wanted, I'm gonna put on a pot of coffee, and then he's like, oh, I'll just drink this warm cream instead. And just like conks out straight away,
conks out immediately. That's good. I like that.
I was thinking of you when Homer is in the back of the car and Wiggum is pulling up to the drive thru. I don't want to get out of the wagon.
I should have just leaned. That's what I should have done. I should have just leaned.
And then
that was actually like, is that from something where he's running with the hands?
I think it's like supposed to be. For me, I think it was The Fugitive. Like, you know, I really got Fugitive. That kind of vibe from it. Like,
yeah, I was thinking The Fugitive, even though I haven't seen it.
Like something like that. Like just in terms of, I don't know, Homer on the run. Yeah, like that kind of. It was kind of like an action sequence. Great. Yeah. As well,
I really like that actually.
Yeah, it looked great. Like,
yeah,
it looked great. I don't know, it just kind of just felt a bit disjointed come the middle and end of it. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's kind of like an odd one anyway. Like, it's so rare that you see like an episode of The Simpsons like start from a part two. You know what I mean? Just even even the whole vibe from the very start is like it's always something fresh. It's always a new story. And this was just like, yeah, so already you're looking at it through kind of a different lens.
I just took thinking about it as well, where it was like after that whole scene, and then like he's like, we got Waylon Smithers here, who's been a real good sport at the whole Ron Clarence thing. But like even that didn't really make sense to me, where it's like Smithers has now gone back to being like Mr. Burns's, you know, loyal companion.
Yeah,
where he's like offering a bounty for whoever. Or to get their hands or on him.
Against Homer Simpson.
Yeah, and then it was like, oh wow, May 1st. This is the first episode. Dead or alive. I really liked Wiggum in, actually. This is the first episode.
Yeah, Wiggum was actually great in this one. And he kind of had to be as well, because he was going to be like a focal point, I suppose, being the head cop.
Yeah, and then you kind of get to the end. Like, Lisa figures it out. And then it kind of you're at the hospital where Homer is disguised.
Is Homer not like under arrest for like taking the gun in like later on and like putting it to his head like all shaky, like say I never shot you.
It does get like, I was like, what is this? Like then it's like,
I know,
and then it's like before, and it's like, you know, you'd be dead really, like if you know, and then it's like, oh, Burns is like, oh no, you have neither the cranial capacity nor the dexterity or whatever, like
And what did you think of the whole scene, like the shooting scene?
I see it, I'm reminded how disappointed I was.
Yeah,
you know, like that, like the baby. And then, like, I always think with that, it's like, then they found out it was the baby. You know, and you're like, oh, okay. I always remember you gave me an end of these discs. So maybe it was when we were in Amsterdam, we started watching like season 7. And I remember like loving this episode so much. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And then this time around, it just, something was off for me. on it, and right. I just couldn't quite put my finger on it. Like, I think it was how much I really enjoyed the setup of the first part, and how I felt like underwhelmed from it, you know.
I think your problem is, Terry, you're a purist. That's your problem. That's your real problem, Terry, is you're a purist.
How and you're fucking dare you?
You take that back. Because the first one had all the, you know, laid all the groundwork nicely for story a story enthusiast.
It's the foundation.
But no, there the was second one. It was a little bit. There was some things tacked onto it, I suppose.
I'm trying to think. Is there any other jokes you can think of that like you'd like to?
I'm sure there's loads that I've.
Colossus was good. Like.
Classes were good. I was a big fan of the Signor Burns song.
Yeah.
Really good. And it was the first time I actually, because I have the subtitles on these days, as you know, that I actually really got the lyrics to that song. It
may
it was great.
Not surprise you, but all of us despise you. Please fry and die in hell. You rotten. Rich, old, rich, adios, Pinheiro. I love how they're like, wow, I hope all our investigations. This one's fun. I would have liked to have one with Barney. You know, they said there was four suspects.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he lost Moe's Bar.
Yeah. It's like, he lost his lost his only source of amusement, sucking down change the... whatever.
Yeah, it was kind of... They had built up so much and they'd left so much clues and all this sort of stuff that like there was bound to be loose ends everywhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it was really like I think overall the two of them were like really well done, but like I feel like they really indulged themselves in this whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like it's good. I'm glad that they did. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like they had too many things going on.
I'm just looking here at some of the stuff. A couple of good one-liners with Wiggum.
Go on.
My mom was like, "Doe." It's like, yeah, that's what they say. They all say "doe."
Say "doe."
Yeah. Yeah, but no.
Oh, by the way, speaking of the one of my favorite jokes, like I would have been raging if I missed it. Do you remember what's your man's name?
The DNA guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where he's like,
like 8 to 10 weeks.
And straight away, and he's peak that guy as well. Yeah. He's like, it takes 8 to 10 weeks.
Ooh, nice eyelash. Yours? Now, we need to find out who it belonged to. We want a DNA test. That takes 8 to 10 weeks. Did I say weeks? Because I meant seconds.
He gives them a carton of cigarettes like they're in prison. Like,
what's his name? It's not Raffio. It's
Raphael.
Raphael. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is just DNA guy.
Yeah.
But
it's that voice. It's the Raphael voice. Like.
Yeah. Uh-huh. If you ever handle a penny, the government's got your DNA.
Yeah.
Why do you think they keep them in circulation?
Yeah, I did like as well at the end where Burns is like, "Officer, arrest that baby." He's like.
Yeah.
He's like, "Yeah, right, Pops. No jury in the world is going to convict the baby. Maybe Texas."
Yeah. And it sounds true. I mean, I don't know, but it sounds legit, at least back then. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
Yeah, that is. Look, we've kind of jumped over all the bits here. Not, what would I say?
Let me stop you right there.
Are those our ratings? Let me see. I lost the channel, Ocho.
And now let me ask you for your final thought.
Oh. Damn. Look.
Yes?
Fun episode. Just, again, I feel like it didn't live up to what it could have been.
Yeah.
If you're just in it for the jokes, and generally I can't be, but... you'll find what you want here. Like, there is enough good stuff, but
yeah.
You know what? We're into season 7. You know, I want to see what the quality is still like. And to be honest, this is one is gonna be an old 8.4 for me.
Oh, a stinker.
I'm giving my MVP's Wiggum. Yeah,
that's out.
Yeah, I was very impressed with him because he wasn't too overbearing. Like, I kind of liked that he actually felt like a real human, for lack of a better term. In it, like,
he just seemed like someone who was kind of trying to do the job, but just grossly inept.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like he's been stuck with this.
Yeah,
you know,
but he is
murder
trying.
Case first time in his career. Like,
well, I'd give it to. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, that's gonna God. Sound so bad.
Sounded sorry, bad everyone. In my ears.
Ugh. I don't do this on the Patreon. I would give it a 8.8, and I would also make Wiggum my MVP. Thoroughly enjoyed it as I was watching it, to be honest. I'll start again. When I started the first one, and like by the time I finished it, I was kind of left a bit like, eh. But I found myself like I don't know, just I just I'm gonna edit this whole part out.
Sure.
I enjoyed it. That's all I'd say. I enjoyed it. Now I'm putting together our your ranking for episode part one was 9.5.
Yeah, big drop off.
And part two is 8.4. And mine was 8.1, and I've gone to 8.8. So there we go.
So I've dropped 1.1.
Yeah.
You've gone up 0.7.
Yes.
Interesting. What do we got on the docket for next time out?
I don't have it.
Season 7, episode 2, Radioactive Man. Watch out.
Oh my goodness. Up and at them.
Another all-time great voice going to be used in this one.
Brilliant. I can't wait for this one.
You're fired.
Yeah, with good cards.
Yeah, with good cards.
Terry, should we get our plugs in, please?
Sure. Hit me, Andy. Where can they find us?
Well, Terry, if you let me talk, they can find us on Twitter at Put It In H Podcast. They can find us on Instagram at Put It In H Podcast. The link to everything that we have going on is on our Instagram bio. You can find our the latest episodes of these podcasts. You can find our other podcasts, What's So Great About. You can find our Patreon. You can find our merchandise. Terry, why? What are you doing? And yeah, stop it! Stop swaying.
Speaking of our Patreon, Andy.
Yes.
That was like 5 minutes ago. Over on the Patreon, you can find our sister podcast, What's So Great About, where we take a topic, and I'm trying to convince Andy what's so great about the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
We've had some successes, we've had some, I wouldn't say failures, but yeah, maybe
there's
failures.
Been some definite failures.
There's at least one, I'll count.
Okay.
We take a topic and we kind of dive into it. We're doing every Marvel movie there. I don't think the rest of our miniseries will be as long as this, but Andy insisted on it. So
okay, well, we both know that I immediately regretted the decision.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You insisted on it. But also on the Patreon, you get our bi-weekly bonus episodes. So we've done an episode just recently on Andy made a playlist of metal songs for me to sink my teeth into. Das is metal.
Mm-hmm.
We actually put one on the feed there for free last week or so.
Yeah.
My emotional journey, where he picked emo songs for me. I have in turn done songs from original songs from movies for him. I picked them six Choice Flight of Conchord ones. We've also done episodes on The Last Dance. We've done episodes on what else? Jeez, a whole variety of topics.
We've done the Royal Rumble. We've done pilot season, where we gave each other an episode to watch on Netflix. We've done there's a couple of wrestling ones.
Yeah.
Although that might be on the main feed. I don't know. But there's a whole bunch of
you get
stuff
you
there.
Get two What's So Great About, and you get two bonus. You get four podcasts per month for the low fee of $5 dues. How about that? Mm-hmm. How can you lose? On the other side of things, if you can't afford to help us out on the Patreon, I know times are tough. You know,
come on now.
It's hard out there. I know. If you can't afford that, and you're listening to these free things that we're putting out there, do us a favor. Just on your Apple Podcast or whatever like that, give us 5 stars. Give us a review. It helps us grow, gets us back in the charts, and you'll be back in our hearts doing that. Let me tell you.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. Hey. Yeah.
Other than that note, I think it's time we wrap this up.
A pledge, as always,
Terry. I look forward to being back in studio with you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm back in next week, I think.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but we're
anyway, until then, folks, stay safe, and Andy, of course.
Bon appetit. I nearly hung up on you again.
One that long, but an insult.